In Bristol Bay, family, friends, and community members haven't stopped thinking about Kelly Kupchayak. The 25-year-old from Togiak went missing last month. Search and rescue teams and the Alaska State Troopers spent 2 weeks looking for her. But eventually, troopers stopped the active search and stated that no foul play was suspected. Family and friends criticized the troopers' actions on social media, calling for closer investigation into her disappearance. Kupchayak is one of dozens of missing people from the region.
We know from our families and our community that this has been happening for a really long time.
Charlene Okpik-Upbuk is the executive director at Data for Indigenous Justice, a statewide organization that has documented missing and murdered Indigenous people for about 5 years.
And, you know, our understanding, right, is violence is not inherent from our Indigenous communities, and that this is rooted in a history of historical and ongoing colonialism. It's a learned violence from colonial practices of genocide.
Upbuk says victims' families are often the main and sometimes the only advocates for missing and murdered Alaska Natives. She says it can take years for families to know if anyone will be charged in their loved ones' cases. And Upbuk says families must also contend with troopers who mishandle investigations and are met with skepticism when they provide context for a case. But Upbuk says she's seen positive changes. At the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention in 2018, families came forward to share their stories. This helped start Data for Indigenous Justice. She says the data collected by the organization has helped to show how widespread the problem is. The Department of Public Safety followed suit and began to put more effort into tracking these cases. Starting this summer, the department publishes quarterly reports with information on the circumstances of the disappearances. In 2021, Public Safety introduced 4 investigators to focus solely on cold cases for missing and murdered Indigenous people, but Upbuk says families still have to push to get updates on their case, and she says that needs to change.
I think it should be really clear that law enforcement needs to be coordinating across. Again, right now, the labor of that is falling on families who are grief-stricken and already trying to deal with, like, you know, their loved ones either being missing or murdered or having all of that going on, and then trying to have to coordinate for law enforcement.
Upbuk says Data for Indigenous Justice has called on law enforcement to give families regular updates on MMIP cases. She says the organization has also pushed to see better cultural training for law enforcement to improve communication in Native communities. For now, she says she recommends that a family member be appointed as a single point of contact to keep track of all case information. She says that keeping a case open is important. That means frequent engagement with law enforcement, with the opportunity to ask questions and have troopers document all the information they provide, because sometimes it's ignored and important to solving the case. 2 years ago, as part of a federal initiative, the Department of Justice created a pilot program in Alaska to address the MMIP epidemic. The Chohoyung tribe in Dillingham volunteered to participate. Courtney Carty, whose Yupik name is Baluktuk, was the tribal administrator at the time and has served as a liaison between families, law enforcement, and the media for MMIP cases. She says the Chohoyung tribe was the first in Alaska to adopt a community action plan.
Our tribe cares very much about working to understand the data and work with all of our community partners in order to begin addressing it. The plan was developed to be a living document to be revisited as necessary.
Carty says the tribe, troopers, KDLG radio, and community members coordinated to develop the plan. It outlines how the community should respond in the wake of a missing or murdered person emergency. But ultimately, the hope is that it will prevent future MMIP cases. She says that a community response plan needs to be created or adapted for all of Bristol Bay and hopes that other organizations can step up to pay for a regional worker to serve as a point of contact in MMIP cases. Cardi says Alaska's branch of the Department of Justice has facilitated regional talking circles in some areas on how a community can respond to missing and murdered Indigenous people. But she says Bristol Bay as a region has not had a talking circle. And she says local law enforcement and other organizations within Dillingham need to be better integrated into Chuhayung's plan to address high turnover and the constant need for training.
And now because of turnover at the tribe and apparently time and turnover in other agencies, this plan is sitting dusty on a shelf and our people are still missing.
Cardi says that people can be uncomfortable talking to law enforcement, so a community event could help raise awareness about the MMIP plan and build better relationships between law enforcement and community members.
If we had more community dialogue, perhaps, between our caretakers and peacekeepers and us people, that could improve things. But maybe the team that developed this plan needs to call a meeting.
Data for Indigenous Justices, Abak says, it can be challenging not to become numb to the number of missing and murdered Indigenous people in Alaska. But she says advocates don't plan to stop looking.
So we're trying to deal with something huge and complex while also like live facing it each and every day. And it is really hard for our families and our communities. And I know that like we're going to see it through. We're not going to not look for our people.
In Dillingham, I'm Christina McDermott.